Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 21st of September 2015. I'm Russell Hargreaves and on today's show, Laurent Koscielny talks to us about the impact that Peter Cech has made on the Arsenal backline. David Hillier drops by to remember North London derbies of the past and Adrian Clarke looks ahead to the weekend trip to Leicester. But let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal travelled to Stamford Bridge to face Chelsea for the lunchtime kick-off on Saturday afternoon. And right on half-time, they were reduced to 10 men in controversial fashion.
Can't get the ball away from Hazard. In comes the cross once again. It's straight into the arms of Petr Cech. And meanwhile, Koscielny's gone down, having been caught potentially by Diego Costa, and the referee's got to sort this out because Koscielny and Diego Costa have squared up, and for me, Diego Costa could be in a little bit of trouble here because I'm not sure if he raised his hand or pressed his face into the face of Koscielny. Gabriel's got involved as well, and the referee Mike Dean has got to sort this out. What is the referee doing here, I wonder? And another card's going to come out. Oh, and it's a red card to Gabriel, who's been sent off here. This is utterly ridiculous.
Oh, he's fallen into the trap.
Oh, no. And Gabriel wants another go at Diego Costa here. And it's a red card to Gabriel. This is utterly, utterly stupid. And he wants to go at Diego Costa. And he's shoving Oscar now. And he's falling into the trap, as Nick has pointed out, because Diego Costa has got Gabriel sent off here. And that is gamesmanship all day long.
Gabriel seeing red after clashing with Diego Costa, who can count himself mightily lucky to still be on the pitch after appearing to catch Laurent Koscielny in the face on two separate occasions. Arsenal would only hold out for 8 minutes into the second half before Kurt Zouma opened the scoring, and the match was all but over as a contest on 79 minutes when the Gunners were reduced to 9 men when Santi Cazorla was sent off for a second bookable offence.
Bellerin coming forward now on the right. Intelligent ball infield. It just won't fall for Ramsey. Arsenal have it again, though. This is Ramsey once more. Oh, and Chelsea have won a free kick, and no one knows why. And Fabregas and has gone down. Oh, and Fabregas has got... Sandy Cazorla's got a second yellow card for the challenge on Fabregas, and it's a red card for Santi Cazorla, a second yellow. And I don't even think he touched him.
Oh, Mike Dean, what have you done?
Chelsea wouldn't kill the game off as a contest until added time, courtesy of a deflected effort from Eden Hazard. And after the game, Arsene Wenger spoke about a frustrating afternoon.
It's a very frustrating afternoon because we look quite in control, and I think it's frustrating to see Diego Costa staying on because it's not understandable when you look at the whole situation that he doesn't get the red card. It's unbelievable. And that we get one on top of that, we have to look at ourselves, but... we are guilty on that, but overall he should have been off before Gabriel can respond to him. We were quite in control, and I felt that we were comfortable. Overall, it's difficult to lose a game like that.
Aaron Ramsey, meanwhile, reflected on a bad week for the team and how they intend to put things right in the coming days.
Yeah, you know, we're always going to create opportunities, but... yeah, we're just disappointed because obviously we had a bad result midweek in the Champions League. We wanted to get back to winning ways and have a positive game. And we were doing that up until the sending off. And, you know, I'm sure he'll learn from that, and we'll have to move on and put things right on Wednesday. you know, it's not good enough for a club like Arsenal to go two games, to lose both games, and hopefully now we can put things right on Wednesday. And, you know, there's there'll be a feisty game with, you know, hopefully some goals in our favour.
The defeat leaves Arsenal without a win in eight against Chelsea now, but they've got the perfect chance to bounce back on Wednesday evening. That's in the Capital One Cup tie against North London rivals Tottenham. And we're going to speak to David Hillier about that next.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Our Arsenal insider this week is former Gunners midfielder David Hillier. Dave, good to have you on the podcast, mate. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Russell. Yeah, really, really happy to be looking forward to this week and the Tottenham game, and I'm very well. Hopefully we'll get a result and things will be back on track.
Yeah, good to hear from you, mate. So you played 143 times for the club, including some memorable battles against Tottenham, didn't you? We'll start, I think, with your favourite memories and favourite opponents from those North London derby games.
Well, I think you can go right back to when I was a youth team player, you know. I used to, you know, play against like Vinny Samways and that when he was young, and then we moved up into the first team together, so I always had good battles with him. I remember a famous round for me was with Terry Fenwick in the FA Cup. That's quite a good memory of a lovely photo of that, and Terry, he signed me later on for Portsmouth, actually, so that was quite ironic. But yeah, came on against Tottenham at White Hart Lane, got nutmegged by Gazza. You know, that's one of my great memories. I've got some really good memories, but they always brought out the best, you know, in everyone, those games, you know, the passion, and, you know, that was really big games for us.
Now, we asked our listeners for your tweets after Wednesday's game, and at Charlie John Cook has asked, do you think that Arsenal will field a weakened team against Spurs, regardless of the history? What do you reckon?
I think it's a difficult situation, you know. The managers have had a couple of not very good results lately, and obviously, you know, fans want us winning. It's a big call, this game. Does he go with his sort of his fringe players and give people a chance, or does he play the first team? I think, personally, he's got to play his best side. He's got to get a win, and that's what I'm hoping he'll do. So, you know, I know there's a couple of injuries, but I think we've got to put a full-strength side out and win this game.
Now, at Guna and Kit has also tweeted in and wants to get your thoughts, David, on what the midfield will look like without potentially Coquelin, Wilshere and Cazorla.
Yes, it's a big issue, this, you know. We've said that the squad, midfield-wise, had a lot of depth, and then you look at it, you get three injuries, and then all of a sudden it's looking a bit lean in experienced players. I think, personally, Arteta will have to come back in. There's talk of, is it Bielik, the young lad coming in and maybe doing a stint as a DM in there. I think personally the manager will go with experience and stick Arteta back in and use what he's got.
What have you made then, David, of Arsenal's start to the season as a whole? I guess it's been a bit patchy, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's been patchy. I think the expectation of the way we finished last season on how we would start the beginning of this season was very high. And I think maybe one or two of the players may be feeling a bit of the pressure of that on them. You know, results haven't been as good as we wanted. Didn't start off great at home with West Ham, and I think that was really a, you know, a kick in the teeth for us. But we gradually got it back. I think we're climbing slowly back to the form we had at the end of last season, but there's definitely an issue scoring goals at the moment, although, you know, we've recently got a couple, so hopefully the worst is behind us and we can kick on. But it's not been a great start. I'd probably give it 7 out of 10 for me.
So who has impressed you so far this season, would you say?
Well, you know, I think Sanchez always impresses me, just with his industry and his willingness and his effort. I think you can't deny that. He's had such a busy year, you know, then he has a busy summer and he comes back and he looks just as on fire as ever. Not quite getting the goals and the finishing he has. He's impressed me. Coquelin's impressed me. I think Gabriel's come in and done a great job. He's unfortunate at the weekend, but it didn't take away from the fact he's a very good player. But for me, probably Coquelin and Bellerin's been doing well as well.
Just going back to kind of reflecting on North London derbies, just talk to me about how special as an Arsenal player they are when you've got the chance to take part in one.
Well, I mean, for me, they started at 14 years of age, you know, when you're in the schoolboys. And I had our managers, Pat Rice and people like that, have been brought up the Arsenal way, playing against Tottenham. So they put the right things into you at that age, which were pride, the passion, the desire to beat them, you know, whatever game it was, whether it was a cup game, league game, you're top of the league or bottom of the league, it carries the same weight regardless. And I think, and it's exactly the same for Tottenham players. No, don't get me wrong, they go out there and they want to beat Arsenal more than anyone, which makes it such a great game. And it is the one you look for at the start of the season. So, and I think the players now at the club, quite a few of them have been there a few years now and have got that taste. They know what it means to the fans, and we've seen over the last few years, it's been some great, great derby games.
Now, North London derby or not, what would be your favourite moment in your Arsenal career?
Favourite moment in my Arsenal career? Wow. I don't think it would be a North London derby.
Okay.
Because I won competitions and things, you know, and I was involved in great sides with fantastic players. But I would have to say, just in my first season, when we won the Division 1, the old Division 1, I mean, we beat Coventry, I think it was about 6-1, last game of the season. And then when a fan came on a pitch and put a scarf around my neck, you know, and I was... He was older than me, and I was just a kid, just being carried along on the crest of a wave. I realised then it hit me what it really was, you know, where I'd really, what I'd really achieved and got to. For me, that moment, I'll never forget, never, never.
And just finally, David, of course, you're a busy man here with Arsenal Media. Just tell us a bit about that and what else you're generally up to.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot for Arsenal Media over the past probably 7 or 8 years now, doing the matchday shows, TV comms. I did a little bit... over in the 100 club as well, a little bit of stuff in the boxes for the club, but mainly in Bristol. I'm a fireman, and I still do a bit of football coaching in Bristol. We run a couple of soccer schools, trying to pick up on the sort of 16-year-olds that go out at academy level. I think they kind of get lost, don't go and play football anymore and give up then, and there's some really good players out there. So we try and grab those at 16.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And give them a couple of years extra tuition, but just really enjoying my involvement in football that I've got now and enjoying life.
David, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much indeed for coming on.
No worries, my pleasure, mate. Thank you.
Cheers, pal. And of course, you can see David on the Matchday Show with Adrian Clarke on Wednesday evening from 7:15pm on Arsenal Player and on the Arsenal mobile app. And now from one midfield enforcer to another, it's time for a history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now.
On the 22nd of September 1970, French international midfielder and World Cup winner Emmanuel Petit was born in Dieppe. Arsene Wenger brought Petit to the club in June of 1997, and he went on to form one of the most formidable central midfield partnerships in memory with his fellow countryman Patrick Vieira, as the Gunners completed the double that season. Well, here's Emmanuel talking about his memories of first arriving at the club and of that double winning season.
Full of big characters, crazy people. The mentality, the culture is completely different. We were preparing games with rock music, everything. I remember in right jumping, you know, through the bars, you know, into the Highbury dressing room. I could feel as well the wood, you know, the whole wood when you on the seat, you know, with inscription of players who pass by, you know. It's like history, you know. It's like you're part of history, and you can feel, you know, through the edge, you know, into the dressing room, all the people that can. And I remember as well David Dean, how friendly, how welcome he was. And I loved my time over there, honestly. And we won the title, you know, the Premier League title. And that was, I think, the first step for Arsene, you know, for his credibility into the English, and as well for us, for the French guy. We were living under so much pressure as well, the French players, because we know that Arsene was French like us, and we had to do more, always, more. But I think all the English players understood that. And they knew from the beginning that we will do everything we can to win something. And we would try everything we could as well to make just one into the team, you know. That's why I think winning the FA Cup at Wembley was a dream as well, because it's, you know, it's this stadium is like, for me, Stade de France, you know, since we won the World Cup. It's special.
Petit would take 9 months to score his first goal for the club, but then scored two in three games, including this winner against Derby County as the team raced toward the Premier League crown.
Dixon. And Parler got a foot to it. Here's Petit. Oh, he's got again! Well, after the long wait, the goals are coming thick and fast.
Petit would go on to play three seasons for the Gunners, making 118 appearances and scoring 11 goals before joining Barcelona in the summer of 2000. However, after just a single season at the Nou Camp, he returned to the Premier League with London rivals Chelsea. And in 2005, he announced his retirement from the game. We'll have another history lesson in next week's podcast. But now it's time to speak to another French international, Laurent Koscielny.
You're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Arsene Wenger recently said that Laurent Koscielny is now at the peak of his powers in the Arsenal team, and it's hard to argue with that with his performances this season. Well, Laurent sat down with Arsenal media's Josh James to talk about being part of the new-look backline this season.
Just wanted to ask you about Petr Cech, because he is probably the greatest Premier League goalkeeper ever. So what's it like playing in front of him?
I think he's... He played a long time for Chelsea, 11 years. He won a lot of trophies.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in the league, so I think he can help us to win more trophies. He has the experience of big games. He knows how we can win the title. So I think he will be very important for us, and he will give us some many points with his saves.
Mm. Does it take a while to get used to playing in front of a new goalie, because it's a big part of a unit, isn't it?
But you felt the first training with him. He talks a lot, you know. He tried to help his teammates to be in good position, to know where's our opponent. So it's very important. And you know, he has the experience of everything. So he can help the team, and he can help the four backs.
And just finally about you, because I know you're not famed for your goal scoring, but you do score a few each season. Have you set a target for how many goals you want to get this year?
No. You know, my job is to defend. After, if I can help the team to score some goals, it's a bonus. But the most important is the team ready. The strikers score some goals, and us at the back, we didn't concede a lot of goals.
When he's fit, Laurent is one of the first names on the Arsenal team sheet, and this could be a huge season for him with the European Championships coming to his home country in 2016. He'll have his hands full with a very impressive Leicester City team this weekend, though, and we'll talk to Adrian Clarke about that game next.
You're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Adrian Clarke is hosting the match day show for Arsenal's trip to Leicester City on Saturday. Ed, how are you, my friend? All right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, despite the frustration of that defeat at Stamford Bridge, yeah. Not a good day.
Yeah, let's not go there again. We've done it once on the podcast already. Can't do it again. How impressed have you been with the Foxes' start to this Premier League
very
season?
Very impressed, yeah. They've been the surprise package, obviously. I wasn't convinced about the appointment of Ranieri, but he's got them firing, hasn't he? The players are showing terrific character. They've been down in their last four matches and clawed back points. And I think that tells you a lot about the guys within that dressing room. It's a fairly limited bunch of players, talent-wise. But when you've got that spirit and a lot of pace as well, it can take you quite far. So hats off to them.
So they had a terrible start last season, didn't they, on the whole, and then finished very strongly. What's Ranieri done differently, do you think, this time around, Adrian, that they've been so much more consistent, so much more early on?
Yeah, it's difficult to say, really. He's brought in quality, or the club have brought in quality. I like one or two of their signings, beefed up the midfield. They needed to replace Cambiasso, and I think Inler's a good player, and Kante too. Okazaki, I think, will come good. I think he's just unleashed the players, in a way, just encouraged them to continue with what they were doing towards the end of last season. He hasn't tried to overcomplicate it, and I think that's a skill in itself.
No, absolutely. So, where do you reckon that Leicester could look to exploit Arsenal?
I definitely can see Leicester looking to hurt them on the counter. That's the way they play. They're not interested in having too much possession. What they will do is when they get the ball, they look to turn Arsenal and clip balls down the sides into the channels for Jamie Vardy to chase. It's a basic tactic, but when you've got someone as industrious as Vardy that loves to run those channels, it can be a problem. And with Gabriel suspended, perhaps Per Mertesacker or Callum Chambers stepping in, I see them looking to isolate Vardy with that centre-half down the sides. That could be a problem.
And Miraz pulling the strings potentially as well. He's a very good player.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He is a guy to watch, and well, he's been one of the players of the season so far. 7 goals in his last 9 Premier League matches, as well as a few assists.
Very impressive stuff. What about where Arsenal could hurt Leicester City?
Yeah, well, I see their weak links really at full-back. I don't want to be too disparaging, but Richie Delatt and Jeff Schlupp, I don't see them as the strongest Premier League fullbacks. So whether it's the wide men themselves or the fullbacks flying forward, perhaps even Theo Walcott drifting into the channels to create overloads, I think in the wide areas, that's where Leicester are weakest.
So tell me a key head-to-head battle then, please.
It's that man you were talking about. It's Mahrez, isn't it? He's the guy that you've got to watch. So I think his battle with Nacho Monreal, it will be the pivotal one. Monreal would need support. He'll need his left winger or perhaps the central midfielder to come across and just get in close proximity, because when Mahrez drifts inside and gets up ahead of steam, he's an incredibly hard man to stop. So Monreal against Mahrez. If he can keep Mahrez quiet, Arsenal's chances of winning will increase.
And our customary end to this little chat, in a sentence, how do you beat Leicester?
Well, when you come up against industrious teams like Leicester, you have to match them. So Arsenal can beat Leicester City by matching their application and attitude in this one. If they can do that, their quality will shine through.
Well, Adrian has described Leicester as industrious. He is ever industrious for us as well. Adrian, as ever, mate, a pleasure having
top,
a good one.
Top man.
And of course, Adrian will be joined by Nigel Winterburn from 2:30 p.m. on Saturday for all the build-up on the Match Day show live on Arsenal Player and the Arsenal mobile app.
You're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
That That's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Lauren Koscielny, David Hillier, and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. And remember, you can tweet your questions to the podcast by following at Arsenal on Twitter and using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We'll be back on Monday, the 28th of September, for the next Arsenal Weekly podcast. And don't forget, you don't want to miss an episode, so go to iTunes and hit the subscribe button. Until next week, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners!
Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly podcast on iTunes or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.